You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Yo, Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio of Chavez Ream Fiends, here with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, we are closing out yet another week.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week, I guess, and started off on the whole world's been on a weird note lately, but at least we had some Dodger stuff to talk about, and hopefully next week we'll bring even more Dodger stuff to talk about.
Yeah, that would be ideal. Today we have another pitcher that contributed to the Game 6 World Series win that is going to a team that we will not be rooting for. We can root for him specifically, I guess, in certain situations, but not his team as a greater good. Alex Wood went to the Giants. We'll talk about that. We'll mention a couple other notes, and then we got some questions from you listeners. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. The other news that came with the Dodgers is that they settled with Corey Kniebel and Dylan Floro and will not be going to arbitration. They still have a bunch of the young guys to take care of, but it's nice to get the two relievers taken care of and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, and you know, the Dodgers historically last year was the first time in a long time that they've did they end up going to arbitration with somebody last year? They did, right? Jock maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the first time I think since Joe Beimel in like 1841 or whatever, that they had gone to arbitration. So this weekend they'll be exchanging numbers. Actually probably today as you guys are listening to this, they will exchange numbers, but chances are they will end up settling with everybody, and Kniebel and Floro are the first two checked off that list.
Second Joe Beimel reference this week, so big week for him on this podcast.
Absolutely.
But the other news that I mentioned is that Alex Wood signed with the Giants a one-year deal worth $3 million with another $3 million in incentives, I believe. No surprise with Farhan over there and them needing – they're not necessarily ready to contend, so they need guys to fill innings more so. And they've taken a few guys in recent years on one-year deals that ended up pitching very well. That opens them up for trade deadline and or just having a decent pitcher the whole year that we saw with Gausman last year and somebody else another year. But yeah, Jeff, any surprise to Alex Wood signing over there or any insight at all?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a little bit of a surprise. I didn't necessarily expect him to sign with the Giants, but I was pretty sure he wasn't coming back to the Dodgers because Alex Wood, you assume, wants to be a starter, and he was not going to be a starter on the Dodgers. And, I wouldn't be surprised if the Dodgers would have been willing to pay him close to what he got to be a left-handed reliever, but maybe not even that, you know. But it makes sense that for Wood to go get a starter job, and that was most likely going to mean playing for a team that, like you said, is not currently in contention. Alex Wood, as he stands right now, is not a starter for a contending big league team, but this does give him a really good chance to restore some of his value as a starter, and then go into free agency next year. You know, at age 30, almost 31, he'll be when free agency hits again. And, you know, if he can have a good year this year, and like you said, maybe get traded to a contender at the deadline, or if nothing else, rebuild his value, then he goes back on the market next year as a starter. So I'm happy for him that he found himself a job as a starting pitcher, and the fact that it's against a team that we don't like doesn't actually bother me too much, because I don't really fear him a ton when the Dodgers face him. And so it's just one of those things that yeah, I'm happy for him mostly.
You haven't seen the run of lefties that have dominated the Dodgers at random times that are on the Giants in recent years at that to the tie block 20 whatever year that one was. But yeah, good for him. It was similar to what he tried to do last year when he signed with the Dodgers and was quote unquote given a role in the rotation, and we kind of disagreed with it at the time. Didn't end up working out because he wasn't healthy enough, and ended up contributing in the postseason. So good for him. We did have a question about him from at Up and Comer Sports, asking our favorite memory of Dodger postseason legend Alex Wood.
Yeah, and my memory doesn't have anything to do with him in the postseason. Back in 2017, his best year with the Dodgers, he went 16-3, made the All-Star team. He finished, I think, what, ninth in the Cy Young voting, something like that. And really, really good season. And you remember, Vince, we were doing our old podcast back then, and that was the summer that the Dodgers were just on fire, and they only had twice in about 2.5 months that they lost back-to-back games, and those happened to be the four games I was at in that time span. Well, one of those games was July 21st against the Braves. And going into the game, Wood was 11-0 with a 1.56 ERA. And then he got knocked around, gave up 9 runs of 4 2/3 innings, including a grand slam to opposing pitcher Jaime Garcia in Garcia's last start with the Braves before he was then traded twice in the next week and a half. And yeah, like something about that game, just going in and knowing, oh good, Alex Wood's pitching. He's been awesome this year. Finally, the Dodgers can win a game that I'm at, and then he just crapped the bed. Something about that, even though it was his great season, something about it just seemed fitting for his Dodgers career for me, that he was really a pretty good pitcher. His first stint with the Dodgers, he was really good almost every year, and yet overall the sum of the parts was he was kind of a throw-in on the Yasiel Puig trade, the Puig and Kemp, and oh yeah, by the way, also Alex Wood and Kyle Farmer. And yeah, something about Alex Wood just being forgettable, but not in a bad way, just, you know, oh yeah, Alex Wood, he exists. And he ended up, you know, like I said, 16-3 that year, very good season. But the one game I needed him to win, he just didn't.
But I'll take him out on a good note. And I guess this last year, game six, he did come in, settle in that game, and give them a little bit of length that they needed to get to the rest of the bullpen. So I appreciate him for that. The whole 2020 postseason, he came in different types of situations and did well. But, you know, the 2017 game four, the legend just grew even more last year when we found out the news that the Astros were stealing signs and cheating, and he had some kind of inkling, and he had really worked on mixing up his signs almost every inning, every bat, whatever it was. He mixed it up enough, and he threw the 5 no-hit innings or something like that, and ended up giving the Dodgers the winning game for the only game they won in Houston. So take him out with that game four, which should have been a notch on his belt in a World Series year, but he ended up coming back, getting the ring that he deserved anyway, so I'm glad for him for that.
Yep, absolutely. He can, just like Pedro Baez, Alex Wood can go to San Francisco and show those guys what a World Series ring looks like, because let's face it, not many of the guys who've won a World Series with the Giants are still playing for the Giants.
All right, we'll be back to answer more questions, so make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. All right, Jeff, let's just get right into these questions. We got some good questions. We'll go start off with one from a friend of the show, at Jacob Norlin. He asks, who will finish second to Mookie Betts for NL MVP?
That's a good question. I'm going to go with Dodgers left fielder Mike Trout. No, if you're not listening every day, you just missed a good inside joke from yesterday. So there's your plug to listen more often. It could be anybody. I expect it could be a Dodger. Like, it wouldn't shock me if it was Corey Seager or Cody Bellinger. But I'm going to guess, I think Fernando Tatis is probably the safest bet there. He's young. He fell off a little bit at the end of 2020, but he's got another year of experience, and he's just so talented all over the place that it's hard to bet against him. So yeah, I'll guess Fernando Tatis.
I think it's pretty hard for a team to have 1-2. So I'm going to just throw Bryce Harper's name out there. I don't know. He seems to have good, like a really, really good year every few years. And I think maybe this will be the one. And the Phillies will maybe be fighting for a playoff spot. So if he can help them get to the playoffs, then that'll bump his candidacy up. You know, not that it's going to hurt Mookie Betts that the Dodgers should be in the playoffs regardless, but it's a little bit different. I don't know. The old voters, you never know how they go sometimes.
Yep. And also in the top five, I'll put Freddie Freeman and Francisco Lindor. All right. Next question from let's combine a couple questions together. We've got a couple about Justin Turner. We've got Mitchell Cohen at Mitchell Cohen 7. He said, will the Dodgers trade for Chris Bryant and let Justin Turner go? Bryant is younger and has better upside. And then Kevin at Blue Goon 82, he says, let's say both DJ LeMahieu and Justin Turner sign elsewhere. What's the plan at third base? Edwin Rios trade, the ghost of Adrian Beltre. So maybe combine those two.
I mean, I still don't think Chris Bryant's a legitimate option until the situation that Kevin put on the table is that DJ and JT sign somewhere else. If that were to happen, then I think Chris Bryant comes a little bit more to the forefront just for the fact that he's 1 year. It would probably cost less. The Dodgers would be able to work with his swing, hopefully, and get him fixed up for the 1 year. He's going to be in a contract year, so you kind of always want a guy in a contract year, especially a young guy like that, who's probably a little irritated with the service time manipulation anyways. He would have been a free agent. Either way, I think the plan would be, I think it's still Turner. Turner's way number one. LeMahieu's a number two. I don't think he's still that legitimate of an option just based on the fact that I think he's using other teams to get the Yankees to pony up. If he happens to drop to a level where the Dodgers are comfortable, then I do think that they would try to get Justin Turner as well and forego the Marcelo Zuna route, assuming there's DH in the NL. So they would try to get those two guys together. But if that doesn't happen, I think Bryant comes to the forefront. I don't think Arenado's a legitimate player right now. Mixing up Taylor, Rios, and maybe, I don't know, and somebody, another small signing or something, they can make it work, patch it together. Realistically, their lineup is still pretty deep, even if third base is Edwin Rios striking out 200 times a year.
Yeah, it's... I like I said yesterday, I have a hard time seeing Edwin Rios being the man at third base. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get some time. But, I think they're going – I think it's either Justin Turner or somebody who isn't currently – I guess Turner's not currently a Dodger either. I think somebody who's not currently on the Dodgers 40-man roster is going to be their starting third baseman. I just don't think it's Edwin Rios yet.
And that kind of answers Choice Fielder at Choice _ Fielder's question of where does Edwin Rios fit into the 2020 lineup. Yeah, I think he's just going to fill in where they need him at this point, and it looks like you feel the same. So
yeah, although I think I still might be on the sell high train on Edwin Rios. I think his value is pretty high right now. People have seen what he can do with the bat, and you know, I wouldn't mind... I really like Eddie a lot, but I think his best value to the Dodgers might be in a trade for a bigger name.
All right, next one from Gianni at Gianni Villahobo. Will Zach McKinstry have more playing time than Gavin Lux? Who will produce more offensively?
In that order, no, and Lux. I think I like Zach McKinstry. I think he's a solid player. I think he has a chance to be a good utility player for the Dodgers, but the fact is Gavin Lux is significantly more talented, and that's the reason for both of the answers. Lux is going to get more playing time because Lux is, you know, like I've said before, this is the year Lux, unless he gets hurt, he is going to be a starter for some team, whether it's the Dodgers or another team. Lux is going to be the starter, and he's going to be given the chance to prove what he could do at the big league level, because there's nothing more to prove at the minor league level, and so he needs his at-bats. So he's going to get those at-bats, and because I believe he's extremely talented, I think he is going to produce. So I expect Lux to play roughly a full season, you know, 500 to 600 plate appearances. And I expect him to be a good player and eventually be a very good player.
Yeah, this question, I mean, Lux is the answer for both of them. But the one situation I could see where it doesn't work out that way is if Gavin Lux just doesn't have it and they got, you know, I'm not sure how long the leash would be. If he's struggling offensively and defensively, the leash becomes shorter. If it's just offensively, they can let him go a little bit longer. But I would see a case where if he just doesn't have it, or you know, similar to 2020, where it's just, you know, not going to happen and they end up not using him, he'd be a candidate to go down to the minors to play every single day, where McKinstry would be a candidate to stick around even if he's not playing that often, just based on the fact that he's versatile and, you know, he fits a role of, he's not going to be an everyday player. He's going to fit a role of a small-time guy. So while I believe it will still be Lux, there is that possibility of how McKinstry ends up being the right answer in both of these questions.
Yeah, I guess. All right, next question from Martin at Baron_10_. Who will be the next young Dodger to come up and make a difference?
I'm not sure. You know, for you, Lux might be an answer to this question. He hasn't necessarily come up and made a difference yet, so that's still a possible answer. I think the answer for me will be Josiah Gray. If the Dodgers don't acquire any other starting pitching and they go similar to what we talked about, a six-man rotation type or some kind of solution where their guys aren't throwing more than 150 innings, they do have to fill those innings. So I could see Josiah Gray coming up, getting a handful, you know, 5 to 10 starts, you know, making a difference in the fact that see what he's got and give the Dodgers some rest. Mitchell White would also fit that mold, but Josiah Gray has a little bit more upside, I think, and is the more exciting player for that to happen to. So I'll go with Gray.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer. You know, that like you were kind of implying, this question could mean a few different things, because Lux has been in the big leagues 2 years in a row, so can he really come up? You know, so maybe he doesn't qualify. I do think if Lux qualifies, he would be my pick. And yeah, besides him, yeah, I mean, it's hard to go with anybody other. If we're talking about guys who haven't been in the big leagues yet, Josiah Gray is kind of definitely the obvious answer. You know, I could see somebody making a case for DJ Peters, even though, you know, Peters, I could see Peters coming up and having kind of a Kevin Moss kind of season. I don't know if you're familiar with Kevin Moss. It was around the time you were born, came up for the Yankees and hit like 20-something home runs. He was just exploded. He was, you know, superstar. And then he fell off a cliff. He just didn't have what it took to maintain it. You know, we've seen different guys. Seems like they always happen for the Yankees. The Yankees also had Shane Spencer 10 or 12 years ago and different guys. But, you know, I could see DJ Peters coming up and having a big impact until the league saw him again and then maybe falling off a little bit of a ledge there. But, you know, that big impact could be enough to actually be meaningful for the Dodgers for a season. So, you know, I guess Gavin Lux, Josiah Gray, and DJ Peters, depending on how we're defining it.
The one wild card I'll throw is Clayton Beter, just based on how everyone else praises him and the fact that if he is a reliever, the path to the major leagues is very fast.
Yep.
Next question from at JBXYZ123. Who is closing games in 2021?
Assuming we mean for the Dodgers, because I think there will be a lot of guys throughout baseball. But I think it's Kenley Jansen. I think Jansen will go into the season as the closer. And I do really, I think I've decided that I think Jansen's COVID affected him more than we knew throughout the season. And so I'm expecting Jansen to come in as the closer and to not be so bad that he loses that job. I don't expect him to be peak Kenley from like 2017 regular season, but I expect him to be better than we saw in 2020. And so I don't think they're going to force the issue. I don't think he'll be so good that they feel forced to go all out to re-sign him after 2021, but I think he will for the most part, keep his closer job throughout the season. Even if he loses it by the end of the year, I expect Kenley to lead the Dodgers in saves in 2021, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, who's closing games? I think it's going to be a bunch of people. I have less faith in Jansen regaining what he had in being in every, like, an all-time closer this season than maybe you do. And I think they're going to use the 2021 season to kind of try these other guys out. You know, Blake Treinen's on a two-year deal. They can try him out. Gratterall, obviously, if he is able to get more guys missing bats, he may be a guy they try out. I think they're going to give Jansen more days off, no back-to-backs, which will give other guys time to close out games.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
All right, last question, another part of a two-parter. We talked about Alex Wood earlier from Up and Comer Sports. What is it about Justin Turner that we value the most?
Oh, this is an interesting question because, like, I was thinking about it. A lot of the reason that I want the Dodgers to re-sign Turner is more for Turner's sake than for the Dodgers' sake. I think there are other options at third base that are as good, if not better, especially when you think long-term. But, you know, the fact that just Turner's whole story, his growing up a Dodger fan, being a lousy player and then coming to the Dodgers and turning into a star, all of that stuff, you know, even his leadership on the team, I think that's replaceable. I think between Clayton Kershaw and Mookie Betts and other guys, I think they have that leadership. They even have some young guys ready to maybe step up and take more of a leadership role. So it's not so much that the Dodgers need that leadership, but I feel like for Turner's sake, he's been that leader, and it seems fair that he should get to keep being that for the Dodgers. So for me, I don't know how this answers that question, but I feel like somewhere in there is my answer to that question of what I value most about Justin Turner. And I think it's just that he kind of is the Dodgers right now. It would be, at this point, it would be weird to see Turner playing for a different team. And, you know, Dave Roberts has talked about Justin Turner replacing him as manager someday. And, you know, I think what I'm hoping for is the Dodgers to sign him to a 2-year contract, you know, a year at third base, a year at DH, and then transition straight into a coaching role. And so whatever it is that makes me value him like that, that's my answer.
Yeah, the leadership quality, I think the Dodgers have a bunch of leaders and they all lead in a different way. You know, Clayton Kershaw is not so much a rah-rah type leader. He's a lead by example, and then you'll see him talking to guys in the dugout. Mookie Betts started the last year off a little bit rah-rah with his intro thing, but it seemed to be a little bit more lead by example, lead by the way he answers questions from the media, and then we saw him help out Austin Barnes, and you would imagine he's talking to other guys as well. Where Turner's, I guess, the more vocal of all the leaders. And Jansen's kind of the leader of the bullpen, but we haven't seen him really be that the last few years. When he's been struggling, he's been dealing with his own issues. So I think Turner's kind of the more vocal leader and the more out, you know, if you ask like a poll of 100 Dodger fans, who's the Dodgers leader, you'd probably get Justin Turner for the most part. And that's based on what Dave Roberts says, what other people say, and kind of what you see out there, since he is the more vocal guy. So I think that, while it's not irreplaceable, I do think it's a big part of it. And it's one of the reasons that a lot of these younger guys come in right away and contribute. I think he helps add to that. So I will say that his bat is also one of the things that I value the most. He's consistent. And if he can just get that foot down a little sooner against guys that throw 95 plus, then he's still going to be a good contributor the next 2 years.
Yeah, I can see that. As far as the leadership goes, I'm just looking at the Dodgers 40-man roster. And, you know, none of these guys, I'm going to say, are quite at Justin Turner's level, but I think some combination of just going in order that they're listed on the Baseball Reference, Dustin May, Walker Buehler, Chris Taylor, Will Smith, Corey Seager, AJ Pollock, Max Muncy, Mookie Betts, Austin Barnes, and then, of course, Kershaw, I think there's plenty of potential leadership there that, they don't necessarily need that, but I definitely like Turner's leadership presence.
All right. That is all the questions we have. Jeff, do you have anything else to add before we're out for the weekend?
I don't think so. Another good week. It's always fun talking to you guys. And, you know, I was just thinking today, I was listening to another podcast, and, you know, I'd be interested to hear from our listeners. If there's things you guys like or wish we were doing or think we're doing well or whatever, we'd love to hear from you. Vince will give you all the information on how to do that in a minute. But I would love feedback from our listeners on what you like about the show and what you wish was better. And obviously phrase it nicely, because we have really tender hearts and fragile egos. But, you know, we definitely want to provide the best show possible for our listeners.
Yeah, we're always accepting feedback, and we're always accepting constructive criticism, because we are not perfect. And I know when I'm editing, I know that there's times where I'm like, oh, yeah, I probably should have worded that different. Or, oh, I'm editing a lot of words I repeat. So always somewhere to grow. And always, you know, if there's new ideas, as you've seen, the Obscure Former Dodger is probably running its course to maybe a once a week thing or couple of times a week thing. So if there's another thing you guys want to know about, or, you know, Jeff's a big baseball encyclopedia, so there's definitely different ways we can get different stories out there. All right, that'll do it for today's show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers. Make sure to follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Make sure to follow Jeff on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. Tell your friends and family about us. Make sure to rate and review if you have the time, all that good stuff. Other ways to get a hold of us are via phone or text at 323-863-LOCK. 5625 or email lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car, or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you on Monday.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all hard. All heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!